Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I welcome everyone to today's fellowship. I pray that you will not leave here the same way you came. Let me start by letting you know the title of our discussion today is Standing Up to Fear. Standing Up to Fear. God will give me the grace, the wisdom to be able to explain to you, and you will be able to understand what fear is and how easily you can overcome fear. And I will give you some instances from the Bible where fear had intimidated people, or fear, or what somebody feared so much came manifested in his life, and how you can handle fear no matter how terrible it is. Because a number of us in life, we face immediate threat to our survival, especially. We face the fear of safety, of security, of our well-being. What will tomorrow bring? And sometimes we allow ourselves to imagine danger. And that danger threatens our peace. If we keep on going on this path, it means we are placing fear over our faith. Before we go further, we need to know what fear is all about so we can tamper down our tensions sometimes or at all times. When you understand what fear is, then you will know how to stand up to fear. What is fear? Says that fear is an emotion triggered by the perception of danger. An emotion triggered by your own perception of danger. It is a survival mechanism that can cause swift physical changes that could increase your heart rate or give you tension for no reason. Some of these fears can even paralyze you if you don't stand up against them. There are two main factors of fear in the Bible. They are classified as positive fear and negative fear. Positive fear and negative fear. Now, let me explain negative fear. Negative fear can cripple your emotions. It is often linked with anxiety, and it is popular among those who lack faith in God. But positive fear is the fear of the Lord. It is defined as a deep respect, a reverential awe and worship submission to God's power. The fear of the Lord is not a terrifying fear. It is described as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge according to Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions." The fear of the Lord does not mean being terrified of God, but rather having a deep, awe-filled respect, honor, and adoration for Him as the supreme creator and the source of all truth. The fear of the Lord is the starting point for all true meaningful knowledge. Without acknowledging God, knowledge is out of place and therefore it is considered incomplete. Listen to that second part of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7. It says, But fools despise wisdom and instructions. A fool in the Bible is not someone that is not intelligent. Oh, a fool in the Bible, it is not someone that is not intelligent, but rather someone who is prideful, stubborn, and rejects God's guidance. They also reject discipline and refuse to learn from God's wisdom, preferring their own ways. That is a fool. But when you have the fear of God in you, it leads you to life and obedience to God's commands. You use divine knowledge to make godly decisions. You develop an inseparable relationship with Him, because the knowledge cannot exist without a reverent fear of God. But negative fear is a paralyzed force that doubts God's protection and kills God's plan for your life. Run from negative fear. It's not worth it. The negative fear is a weapon of the enemy that restricts believers from acting in faith. If you allow it, this kind of fear can manifest itself to torment you in a way that can cause you severe mental and emotional suffering. Let's look at what fear did to Job in Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid is come unto me." This was an emotional breaking point of a man who had lost everything. Job is now seeing happening to him the disaster he had always feared. This is a lesson for those who like to focus on negative things. Change your mindset, because those things you fear and allow to take over your thoughts might just happen. It might just happen by your continuous remembering, thinking, make afraid. Instead of dealing with it and addressing it, you keep it alive in your heart. What you think can shape your life. So says Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7a. Proverbs 23, verse 7a says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What consumes your mind controls your life, my brothers and my sisters. What consumes your mind controls your life. If your thoughts are consumed with negative fear or negative emotions or negative thoughts, your life will reflect exactly what you think. So be careful, because as a person thinks, so is he or she. Negative fear represent the spirit of timidity and fearfulness, which the Bible states is not from God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." This spirit of fear is rooted in doubts, and it is a distraction from God's power, because they always anticipate evil. This negative fear hinders believers from acting on God's promises. This kind of negative fear can lead you to sinful actions, just like Abraham lied for fear of being killed for his wife's sake in Genesis chapter 20, verse 11 to 12. Genesis chapter 20, verses 11 to 12. "And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Abraham told Sarah to lie to the Egyptians. Tell them you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared on your account. Told you that. God now visited Abimelech in a dream and threatened him not to touch Sarah because she is Abraham's wife. Genesis chapter 20, verse 3 to 4. Genesis 23 to 4 says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Hey, but Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? They know the power of God. When Abimelech confronted Abraham, listen to what he said to Abimelech. I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. He didn't lie. He was afraid. Abraham confesses his fear. He assumed, based on the culture of that entire region, that there was no fear of God in Gerar. He believed that his life was in danger and that he would be murdered for his wife's sake. Though the lie Abraham told was justified because technically Sarah was his half-sister, daughter of his father, but not of his mother. But it was told with the intent to deceive. It is wrong, because Abimelech almost took a married woman to be his wife, but for God's intervention. Abraham was afraid because Sarah was very beautiful. He feared that men would kill him to take her away from him. For your information, it was twice that Abraham told Sarah to claim that she was his sister, for fear of being killed. You can check out the second story at your spare time in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 13. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 to 13. You can check it later. But there's another similar incident that happened again within the family. But this time, it was with Isaac, Abraham's son. In the book of Genesis chapter 26, verse 6 to 7. Genesis chapter 26, verse 6 to 7. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, same place, same town, same location. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister, for he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill him for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. During the time of famine, Isaac settled in Gerar, but out of fear for his wife, out of fear for his life, due to the beauty of his wife, Rebecca, he lied to the local men, claiming Rebecca was his sister. Isaac was afraid that the men of Gerar would kill him to take Rebecca, who was still considered attractive and very beautiful, even after many years of marriage. This shows that fear can cause believers to repeat the same mistakes of their ancestors if we don't stand up against it. Stand up against fear. Remember the Israelites? They feared the giants instead of trusting in God. That fear cost them 40 years of wandering in the desert. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 31 to 33. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31 to 33 says, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.'" Verse 33. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sights." Wow. Thank you, Lord, for your word. They didn't see them eating human beings, so they said it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They saw giants. They got scared. They said they looked like grasshoppers before the men. These 10 Israelites that were sent as spies brought faithless reports after exploring Canaan by exaggerating the strength of the inhabitants and then described themselves as grasshoppers in comparison. This was an example of danger of fear based upon unbelief. But for the testimony of Joshua and Caleb, was different. It was based on their trust in God. They've seen God perform many miracles, and they knew definitely that no matter what danger was there in Canaan, God was able to deliver them from them all. I will share with you again another person that acted based on fear in the Bible. That was Apostle Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69 to 75. I would like us all to read along. Keep yourself mute, please. Matthew 26, verse 69 to 75. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, 'Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, 'This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know this man.' And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, 'Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayed thee.' Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly." Apostle Peter denied Jesus 3 times out of fear of his own life. He was terrified of being arrested and crucified alongside Jesus. Despite his willingness to follow Jesus, Peter lacked the spiritual strength in that moment to stand up to fear. He lacked that power to stand up to fear. Now that you have heard the different aspects of fear, and you have seen a few examples from the Bible, how do you stand to to fear? How do you stand up to fear? The biblical remedy to help you stand up against negative fear is to replace fear with your trust in God and in His power. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 and 6 says, Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Another aspect that will help you stand up to fear is to love everyone regardless. Love everybody. Because perfect love drives away fear. Perfect love drives away fear. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. God's love is described as perfect because it is complete. It is unfailing, and His love is secure and genuine. When believers understand this, every fear will disappear, and then fear can no longer torment you. But the fear of God is a submission to God's holiness. But the fear of God is the submission to God's holiness, to God's power, and to God's authority. The fear of God is observed by your loving obedience to His commands. The fear of the Lord is shown by your hatred to evil. The fear of God is also your constant awareness that He is watching and evaluating your life every moment. The fear of God guides you as a believer to understand God's character and His righteous judgments. For instance, if you fear God, you will obey His commandments, just as Abraham did in the book of Genesis chapter 22 verse 12. Yes, Genesis 22 verse 12 says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Your fear of God is also described as fountain of life that brings security, brings you confidence, and also gives you protection. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 26 to 27. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 26 to 27 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Listen to this verse also in the book of Proverbs chapter 19 verse 23. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord is the proper response to recognizing who God is. It leads you to a life that honors Him, and no evil shall ever visit you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Fear is a natural response. The goal is to understand and manage it well. Instead of avoiding what scares you, Take small, manageable steps towards it, which builds confidence and resilience instead of you running away. Standing up to fear in the Bible is rooted in the command to fear not. The Bible has presented us with the commands to fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Many times encouraging us believers to replace our fear with trust in God. Replace your fear with confidence in your prayers. Replace your fear with as you meditate in God's promises. Claim your place and trust in God and let that fear disappear so that peace can come and reign in your heart. The book of Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is a divine promise from God to his people to overcome fear and anxiety during difficult times by relying on his presence and his strength. This is an assurance for all believers that we are never alone. God has promised to personally help us. He has promised to strengthen us. And he has promised to uphold us with his righteous, powerful, and saving right hand. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, fear not. Stand up to your fears. Brethren, when fear strikes, you put your trust in God. So says Psalm 56 verse 3 to 4. Psalm 56 verse 3 to 4 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." I want everyone to read this verse along with me as you internalize it to yourself and personalize it, because the word of God is speaking to you. Psalm 56 verse 3 to 4. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." This is God's word, and thanks be to his word. Prayer will help us to overcome the spirit of fear. Yes. Prayer against fear helps you to live in the moment and helps you to realign your thoughts with those of God. We are asked to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand firm against fear and spiritual attacks. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13 and 14 says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And also God has given us the spirit and the power to stand against fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God did not give us believers a spirit of fear or timidity, but rather he equips us with the Holy Spirit to act with power, to act with love and self-defense when necessary. You know, therefore, overcome your fears in life by relying on God's strength. Remember that you can use the same supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit, same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, you can use that same supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to face your fears, to face all your challenges and overcome all your obstacles in Jesus' name. But if you are not yet a believer, and a born-again Christian, it will be impossible to experience this supernatural strength that will help you to stand up to your fears and overcome them. So the opportunity to experience Jesus and his power is simple but very, very serious. If you are ready, you are willing and you want to enjoy all these beautiful benefits, and you have the boldness to be able to stand up against fear, you may repeat the prayer of salvation after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned against you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, and he is alive. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life. Take absolute control of my life and write my name in the Lamb Book of Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I believe you've been blessed with this message. Join an amazing moment in God's presence by fellowshipping in His presence. There we'll learn and grow in God's words and prayer. It's a partnership with God's people and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Follow the link below to join us every Sunday and bi-weekly Wednesdays on our audio platforms. You're welcome.